Fetal development is a complex series of stages during which the major body systems begin to form. Many factors affect lung growth, and numerous studies have been performed to determine the relative effect each has on growth and development. The heart begins to develop very early in pregnancy, making this a crucial time. Usually, the heart begins beating by day 22. Four stages of cardiovascular development have been identified. The fetal lungs do not function until birth. Therefore, the placenta is the main gas supply organ for the fetus. Prior to birth, the lungs are non-functional. The placenta acts as the gas exchange organ for the fetus. The umbilical cord connects the fetus to the placenta and contains blood vessels that carry oxygen and nutrients to the fetus. The amnion is the sac surrounding the developing fetus. It contains the amniotic fluid. The fetal shunts reroute the blood supply so that the entire cardiac output does not pass through the lungs. The three distinct layers that develop from the fertilized egg are the endoderm, mesoderm, and ectoderm. These layers become different parts of the body as the fertilized egg becomes an embryo. Blood flow in the fetus follows a different pathway than in an adult because of the presence of three fetal shunts. Clamping the umbilical cord causes closure of the fetal shunts, allowing blood to flow the normal adult pathway rather than the fetal pathway. The preferred technique to reduce a posterior elbow dislocation is one that provides the least complications and is a modification of the Stimson technique used for shoulder dislocations. Place the patient prone with the affected arm hanging off the gurney. Ensure that the patient does not have respiratory difficulty while in the prone position. Tie a sheet circumferentially around the patient's hips and the gurney to prevent them from falling off the gurney. Place padding anteriorly in front of the arm and shoulder so that the arm does not drag along the side of the gurney. Suspend a weight from the patient's wrist to apply traction to the arm. The weight should be approximately 5 pounds. Add additional 5-pound increments up to 15 pounds, depending on the patient's musculature and weight. Allow the arm to dangle over the edge of the gurney for approximately 10 minutes. If the elbow dislocation will not reduce, attempt the traction-countertraction technique. Place the patient's arm in a slight flexion and the elbow in approximately 90 degrees of flexion. Grasp the patient's mid-humerus with the non-dominant hand and the patient's wrist with the dominant hand. Apply steady traction to the patient's wrist to distract the coronoid process and allow it to slip past the humerus and back into the anatomic position. Alternatively, an assistant can grasp the humerus while the physician uses both hands to grasp the patient's wrist. Scrubbed team member. Don a surgical mask and eye protection, perform hand hygiene, and don a sterile gown and sterile gloves. Remain as close to the sterile field as possible. Always face the sterile field when moving in and around the sterile field. If turning is necessary, turn back to back or face to face. When moving from one side of the sterile field to the other, as in changing sides at the operating table, move back to back with one person always facing the sterile field. When the pass is completed, the passing person should again turn to face the sterile field. Be careful when changing heights in and around the sterile field, and be seated only when the entire procedure is performed at a lower level. Unscrubbed team member. Don clean gloves if handling items in contact with bodily fluids, and isolation gown if indicated. Stand a safe distance away from the sterile field so as not to compromise the field's sterility. Do not walk between two sterile fields. If passage is necessary, the two sterile fields should be repositioned so that no contamination occurs from movement of the unscrubbed team member. On approach, always face the sterile field. In infants and toddlers, it is recommended that intramuscular injections be given in the middle one-third of the lateral aspect of the vastus lateralis muscle, also known as the anterolateral upper thigh. In older children, intramuscular injections are given in the deltoid muscle. Pinch muscle and quickly insert a 1-inch, 23 or 25 gauge needle at a 90 degree angle. Larger adolescents may require the use of a 1.5-inch needle. Aspirate to check for possible blood vessel entry. Aspirate for at least 5 seconds. This ensures that the needle is not in a small blood vessel. If blood is obtained, withdraw the needle and discard. If blood is not obtained, slowly inject the medication. Do not recap the needle and dispose of the needle in the proper container. Apply pressure to the injection site with a gauze pad, then apply a bandage and comfort the child. Perform hand hygiene. Verify the correct neonate using 2 identifiers, per institution policy. Ensure that informed consent is signed and available. For emergency situations, refer to the institution policy for assumption of consent. Verify baseline weight, length, and head circumference. Obtain and document baseline physiologic data. Record heart rate, systolic and diastolic mean blood pressure, and temperature. Insert urinary catheter and NG tube. Place NG tube to gravity drainage. Collect and document laboratory results, ABGs, coagulation studies, blood type and screen, and electrolyte values. Confirm with the ECMO specialist that a cranial ultrasound has been ordered by the practitioner and has been read by a radiologist. ECMO is contraindicated in infants with intraventricular hemorrhage, bilateral grade 2 or greater, due to the need for anticoagulation and increased risk of extending the hemorrhage. Ensure with the ECMO specialist that the practitioner has ordered an echocardiogram and a cardiologist has read it. ECMO is contraindicated in infants with uncorrectable cyanotic congenital heart anomalies. Move the neonate to a radiant warmer or incubator radiant warmer combination and place a temperature probe on the lower abdomen away from operative site. Ensure appropriate cardiopulmonary, blood pressure, and oxygen monitoring. Place electrocardiogram leads away from the surgical site. Place oximeter probes to measured preductal, right hand, and postductal, either foot, oxygen saturations. Place blood pressure cuff and set to cycle every 5 minutes if no arterial line is in place. Perform hand hygiene and don surgical cap and mask. Administer preoperative medications per practitioner's order. Don non-sterile gloves and position the neonate in a side-lying position with the left side up and the back toward the edge of the bed closest to the surgeon. Ensure the proper position of the endotracheal tube and other tubing. Obtain vital signs immediately before the anesthesiologist assuming care of the neonate. Document vital signs, ventilator settings, oximeter readings, and the time the report is given to the operating room nurse or anesthesiologist. Assist the operating room team in establishing a sterile field and preparing the equipment. Remain available to the team. Discard supplies, remove personal protective equipments, PPE, and perform hand hygiene. Document the procedure in the neonate's record.